Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
You're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air. Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
The moment you've been waiting for.
Two.
Start the show.
One.
It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show, radio podcast. Hoss.
Yes, ma'am.
You are never allowed to leave that long again.
No.
Ever.
That was a long trip.
How long were you gone?
6 days.
That sucked.
Yeah, you're telling me.
Like, I didn't even realize how much I...
You love me. It's fine.
How much I need you till you're gone.
I know. Well, you've just described every girl I've ever dated.
Oh, that's really creepy. but like you were in New York all week.
I was.
I don't remember. There was something I wanted you to come do or see. I don't know if like one of the girls had a soccer game or something or something. You're like, I'm still out of town. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it was like day two of the trip too, by the way.
I know. You're like, no, I'm really gone all week.
I was like, no, really. It's only Tuesday.
You told me like 10 times, but it didn't sink in until you were actually gone all week. And so you were in New York on business.
Yes. I worked out of our home office Monday through Wednesday and then hit the road through all of upstate New York and came home
because
Saturday.
Because you work in the music industry.
Yes.
As a talent manager. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes. My company manages bands and yeah. I work for the promotion side. So
and
I get stuff played on the radio. And
like
all
one
stuff.
Of the only people that they let not work in New York, right?
I'm the only person in the company not in the home office.
That's awesome.
It's great.
They're like, dude, how did he get to do that?
It's it's awesome not being in the office, but there's so much that I miss out on. Like
having friends.
Well, there was that. And then like I was in the office this week and everyone's listening to music that's new to me and they've heard for 3 months. And I was like,
right.
Can someone send me this stuff? Like, I don't know. I'm just the guy who's trying to get it played on the radio.
Or can you like Skype with me every day at lunch break? Like just so I feel like I have friends.
Yeah.
You know, I do that a lot.
I mean,
too.
I talk with them on the phone all the time because
right.
I'm always having to relay information. But it's so much different than when you're there.
It is. Stephanie, how was your weekend?
It was good. I was in Chicago all weekend.
Who'd you go to Chicago with?
I went with my friend Kelly Park and
I know her.
Yeah, we went to shoot a wedding up there. She had a client getting married, so we went up there and shot this great wedding. It was beautiful. It was a wonderful
day.
Were
the people of Chicago snobby to you?
No, yes. they were actually really nice. Like the family was so sweet and like everybody that we ran into up there was awesome. So we had a really good time.
And then they all got into cars and forgot how to drive.
And then talked about how bad St. Louis was.
Oh right. My gosh. Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, like the driving up there is really so
it's
much
awful.
Different.
I've lived in Chicago and I've lived in LA and I would rather drive the 405 every day of my life
than Chicago.
Any of the interstates in Chicago.
Oh, it was nuts. It was nuts. Even just trying to get up there. Like we unfortunately were getting into town right at rush hour on Friday night.
That sucks.
So we sat in traffic for a good long time. It was not
Did
pleasant.
You guys like stay at a hotel?
We did. We stayed at a hotel up on the North Shore and the wedding was up there too and we got down to the lake a little bit and
nice.
And got to kind of walk around a little bit there and we saw the Lincoln Park Zoo this morning. We had a session up there this morning and it was great.
Adventures in Babysitting was shot in Chicago and my kids almost got to watch that this weekend.
One of my favorites.
Such a great movie.
But then it wasn't in like we have DirecTV now and I'm still confused by what's on demand and what movies I have.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my god, we're gonna watch this movie. I'm like, there's one F word in it, you can't repeat it. But like I was trying to think of like what other stuff was in there.
I love that dishes are done, man.
That's a different movie.
I was going to
say,
what
is that?
That's
Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Done.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
That's Christine Applegate.
Get out of my house. Are
there boobs in Adventures of Babysitting?
Well, the kid is like mimicking boobs, but I don't think it shows boobs. Like
Because doesn't the one kid like have a Playboy with him? And like the running joke is that the chick in the Playboy looks like
Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah.
Well, he walked up to me and he asked me if I wanted to dance.
Is that not on Netflix?
Oh, you know what? It probably is, but I don't know how to hook my Netflix up to my TV.
I don't know. I'm totally checking, though.
So
that movie's such a great movie. Every once in a while, I'll see it in like the $5 bin at Walmart and almost pick it up, and I don't know why I don't, because it's so good.
I have all this technology at my fingertips and don't know how to use it. Like, I have no idea how to plug my Netflix into my TV. I just watch it on my laptop, and you know what I keep watching over and over? Is Grey's Anatomy. Like, I started...
Oh, geez.
Is it on there?
It's on
there. How the hell is that only rated a 3 out of 5?
What?
Kids.
Well, it's a guess. It's
Those
the guess.
Damn millennials. What?
It's the guess. I thought the stars were on Netflix were what they think you will think of them.
Oh, I have no idea. That I don't know.
Is Netflix working on inner intelligence like Facebook now and taking over our brains?
Well, no, it's got algorithms. They all have algorithms now. I hate that word.
Because
you rate movies and shows and stuff after you watch them. And so they do that to give you suggestions, you know, to things that they think you would like.
It's like Rotten Tomatoes.
I always thought the stars on Netflix were, we think, this is what we think you'll think of this.
Well, I know that because I love watching documentaries. And so, like on Netflix, I'll watch almost any documentary. And there was this one about these girls trying to get out of porn, like they, and it was about this gross guy that hires them, and ever since then my Netflix is like, here's a new booby movie and here's a new porn and here, or not like porn, but you know,
I watched a documentary last night.
On what?
I watched the new Blair Witch movie.
Oh, that's not real documentary.
No, it's not real.
Is it?
No,
remember back when, like, we really thought that was real? That was awesome.
I saw the first one, and I love scary movies, but I went to the first one and I didn't even know there was a movie out. Like, my coworkers were like, hey, do you want to go to a movie with us?
So you really thought?
Well, I sat there. Here's what I was told before I went to the theater. It's a movie about three kids who go camping and they get lost. That's all I knew. So I'm sitting there watching this movie, right, and the end happens, and my mind goes, did I just watch three kids die?
Right.
And then you're like, there's no way. That wouldn't be in theaters.
Because back then there wasn't like the internet where you knew everything ahead of time.
Yeah
this was all, like, it was all rumor.
It was so, like, it was shot so real. This movie, by the way, if you liked the original,
I don't like scary stuff. Is good. Yeah.
It's way better than the really crappy high-budget Hollywood sequel they tried to do 5 years later.
Yeah,
forget that ever existed. This one's great. And, like, the premise is that the girl from the first one's brother, 15 years later, is trying to find her.
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh. I don't do scary.
Like, me either.
I hate
You actually
scary.
See the witch in this one, though.
You do?
Yep.
I've been going back and forth about whether or not we should do some kind of a Halloween show.
Oh,
and if we should, it should totally be, like, Blair Witch-style GoPros in the woods, you know?
Yep.
I will pee my pants. I don't even,
I mean,
like...
My husband knows the guy that owns the Exorcist house.
He does?
Really? Let's go.
Well,
let's go.
Dave Glover does that in town. Like,
oh,
he's
that's
been...
right. Yeah, he does.
I am very good friends with the guy who runs all the paranormal stuff in Alton, Illinois.
Oh,
he does
Alton
the tours. Yeah.
Oh,
if you have never done the Walking Haunted Alton tour, my buddy Luke, there's a couple companies that do it.
No, I've never done it.
My buddy Luke does one. It's a time investment. It's about 3 hours.
Yeah.
But you walk all over the place, and they've got access to places that these other people don't. It's, just from a history standpoint, it's fascinating.
You guys know I grew up with a ghost in my house because a man was murdered right before we moved in, and we didn't know it. I did a whole show on it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, like, I don't mess with that stuff. I don't, you know, like, I don't even like talking about the murder in my old house because I'm scared it's going to, like, you know, make him come find me again. As a matter of fact, I don't even do haunted houses.
I love them.
My shooting, well, then you know what you would love? My the shooting range that I go to, Ultimate Defense in St. Peter's, I'm doing their zombie night, where,
so,
like,
fun.
You go through a haunted house and these zombies pop up. But the thing is, you get to shoot them.
You get to shoot them. That would be cool.
But
that
would
be amazing.
I'm scared because, like, I don't like shit popping out at me.
Oh, I'd be all over that.
It's not.
Yeah, but if you were armed.
Well,
I mean, that does help, but and the funny thing is that it's not like a real gun. You're armed with like a paint gun,
a paintball,
yeah. And so some of the zombies are real people. They're just in, like, padded vests and stuff, you know. And I'm like buddies with a lot of the guys there, so I don't want to be
Chris,
boom, 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 because I know it's not going to feel good.
One of the Escape the Rooms in St. Louis's, there's like a billion of them now,
right?
But one of them is doing a zombie one where you're locked in a warehouse and you have to try to get out without dying.
Oh, hell no.
And then there's another one that I really want to try where you're stuck on a subway and you have to solve puzzles to get to the front of the train and disarm a nuclear bomb.
Wait, what are they gonna do? Like the Metrolink?
I have no idea.
I don't even ride the Metrolink.
I have no idea how they're doing it. I'm assuming it's like some sort of simulated train, but like,
those things, like a movie set kind of thing.
Yeah, those things are fascinating to me. Like all the, like, the puzzle solving and things like that. But I would totally do the zombie.
I'm fine with puzzle solving. You throw zombies in, and I am out.
There was a company a couple years ago, and I never got around to it, that had rented out like a 5-story warehouse in South City somewhere, and was doing a escape thing with zombies, where you basically got. You had to buy as much ammo as you thought you needed, and they dropped you into this room, and you had as much time as you could to get out. But the longer it took you to get out, the more zombies they would flood in.
Well, why don't you tell everybody who you met this weekend? Because I'm at home. I was like really late one night, and like Saturday or whenever, and I get a text message from Haas, and he's like, look who I'm hanging out with. And yeah. I knew he'd went and saw like...
I saw AC/DC.
I was like, okay, what old rocker is that? I thought it was like one of the Guns N' Roses guitar players or something. Right. But no. Tell everybody who it was.
So I went to an awesome surprise while I was in town was I got to go see AC/DC at Madison Square Garden,
yeah.
which I had never been to Madison Square Garden before, which was cool.
Yeah.
And AC/DC was really awesome because they've got this guest guy singing for him who's an amazing vocalist.
And that you're in love with.
Yeah, his name's Axl Rose. my friend, I don't know how she got her tickets, but we must have been in the middle of the celebrity section. You would have died. Because there were a lot of like younger people that I'm like, I know you, but I don't know where. And I'm sure you would have been picking them off left and right. But what I noticed was two rows in front of me and about six seats down was the band Anthrax and Norman Reedus, who is Daryl Dixon from The Walking Dead.
Which is a scary zombie
The biggest
zombie
star
show.
Of the biggest TV show
Do you watch
in
that
world.
Stuff?
I do not. It's like my husband's favorite show. He's throwing himself a little party because season 6 just came out on Netflix.
Here's how you know that he's a big deal. If you go into Hot Topic right now, there's a whole bunch of Walking Dead stuff you can buy. There is a shirt that says... If Daryl dies, we riot.
I can't walk in Hot Topic because those workers scare me.
My mother, who I have shown hundreds or thousands of photos of me and famous people to,
yeah.
and usually gets the same response of,
that's
cool.
Nice, yeah.
I sent her the picture of me and Daryl.
Yeah.
Now, this is my 66-year-old mother who owns a Daryl Dixon blanket and five Daryl Dixon Funko Pops.
Right.
Lost her ever-loving mind.
I bet. I mean, because he is a big deal. I wouldn't know him if I bumped into him on the street.
I kind of think Mom has a crush on Daryl.
Okay, I mean, your dad won't notice.
No.
He'll never notice.
And nor do I really think he cares. He'll be like, whatever, Pam.
I used to love Hot Topic. Like, that was my shopping place when it opened, and now I'm scared of the workers, and I will not go. Like, I'm almost...
Rightfully so, I think.
I walk in, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like,
yeah.
Your poor mother. I'm so old. So we just have so much to talk about with Haas being back in town. I am here with producer Stephanie, my best friend Haas. You are listening to the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast, episode 70. Hang with us. We'll be right back.
The Kelly Mano Show.
Come on!
Mondays suck a little bit less.
Because the Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
The Kelly Mano Show is proudly brought to you by Aero Insurance Specialties. I had no idea how different insurance companies could be when it came to giving you quotes and insurance on your vehicles or your house. Until I started investigating and until I met Angela with Aero Insurance Specialties, I was with one of the big guys, one of the big companies. When Jimmy and I got married, we went to our buddy Tom down the street, and he hooked us up with our life insurance, our home insurance, our car insurance, our business insurance. I literally gave him everything. And over the course of 12 years, I assumed he had our back, and I assumed if there was anything better for us out there that he would get it for us, and I was wrong. So I got in touch with Ange, who I know from high school, and she said, well, here's what I do. I'm an independent insurance rep for 7 different companies. Just let me know the kind of car you drive, the kind of house you have, and let me shop it for you. And she came back, and she has saved the Manos $672 a year on our insurance. It's so easy. All you have to do is email her or give her a call. She handles auto, home, life, and business insurance. You can call her at 314-450-8384. Again, that's 314-450-8384. Or you can visit her website, which is www.aeronow.net. The Manos have loved working with Angela and Aero Insurance Specialties. If you missed all that and you need to catch it later, head over to kellymano.com, and we will have all the information there as well. So I had surgery on Monday.
I saw.
last time I talked to, well, you weren't here, Darren was here, but I had this thing that needed to come out of my leg, and sure enough, it was a tumor. Who has a tumor in their leg?
Apparently the size of a jelly bean.
Yes, but dude, they cut me pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see. Ow! Oh, easy now.
Oh, it's a pretty good cut.
Yeah. Well, and he kept apologizing because I knew it was down at the bone because I could feel it. Yeah. And so after surgery, he's like, tell her I'm sorry. I had to go through the muscle and, you know. So it was some good pain for like 2 days. But other than that, I was fine. And it came back as a tumor called a schwannoma, which doesn't even sound like a real tumor.
I know. It sounds like made up.
It does. And so basically, it's a tumor that grows either on or from your nerve cells, which is why I was having the shooting pain down my leg.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it wasn't, because we have all kinds of little bumps and tumors and stuff in our bodies that we don't even know about. Yep. But since mine was grown on a nerve, so it's out. I'm really happy about that.
Congrats on, you know, not being sick.
I know, right? You can't help but worry in the back of your mind.
Of course.
Yeah. Like, I'm so not a hypochondriac. I think that is proven in the fact that I had this damn thing in my leg for a year.
Did you have a bump on your leg, or did you just feel it in there?
Oh, I had a knot. It was like a marble.
Yeah.
And the reason I knew, like, okay, I'm like, I'm not going to talk to my doctor about this because it was firm and it didn't move.
Yeah.
And I know that's like immediate eviction. Like, your doctor's like, eh,
get it out. Yeah.
But then when the shooting pain started, I was like, damn it. You know.
Did yours come up like suddenly, or was it?
No, I've had it for the first time I talked about it out loud, I was at a hockey tournament for Rocky back in January.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's October now. It's September. And I was telling one of the other moms, like, she saw me rubbing my leg and she's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know. I've got this knot in my leg. And she's like, well, don't rub it. It could be a blood clot. And I'm like, it's not a blood clot. And so that was in January, and it had been there a while. And it was hurting me. So I knew when I went to the doctor, he was going to take it out. And now I'm going to have to call my doctor at some point about this muscle twitching thing. Ever since we did, I don't think the two are related. Hoss and I did something really stupid a couple of weeks ago. If you don't listen to the show regularly.
Stupid and hilarious.
Okay, so.
We did drugs.
Hoss and I, a couple of weeks ago, took an Ambien.
Yep.
Fought the sleep for an hour. We played Connect Four.
Yeah.
And then we did a radio show.
Which was awesome.
And I woke up the next morning with this horrible lip twitch. Like, it was like Elvis. Like,
it was like you were possessed by Elvis.
Yeah. It was like I was possessed. By
yeah,
Elvis.
It was good. It was good.
But ever since then, so like the lip twitch has gone away, but I'm having these like jerky arm and leg movements.
Oh, weird.
And it's always when I'm resting. So it's only when I'm like at a computer or at home or like going to bed.
Yeah.
And it's always like a couple in a row. It's like head, hip, hip, you know, shoulder. And I'm like,
wow.
Damn it.
Yikes.
Damn it. Because that's totally they're going to want to look at my brain, aren't they?
Not necessarily.
You may say that and they may just go, oh, it's this.
I'm sure it's nothing. But, at the same time, like, I'm not a hypochondriac, but I've got 3 kids. So when weird shit starts happening, I have to at least call the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Or something. I don't know. I decided that I'm going to give it 1 more week.
All right.
I'm going to give it 1 more week and just make sure it keeps happening like it has for the last month. Do we want to talk about Corey Feldman first, or do we want to talk about New York first?
I mean, both are pretty crazy.
So did you guys both see Corey Feldman's performance?
I did.
Are we calling this a performance?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it's art. It's definitely art.
It was something. It was really
Speaking
something.
Of body twitches.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Here, I'm going to pull it up just to remind you guys and get it fresh in your mind.
I saw it on accident, actually. But
so the question that I have is, do you think he realizes that he can't sing and is bad? Like, do you think he does this knowing that it's a joke? Or do you think he is full on in, I'm a rock star?
No, he's in because he released a statement today sobbing. Like, he is so upset over the reviews. So Corey Feldman went on the Today Show. Because remember, he was trying to, like, fund this album.
A year ago.
He was doing that thing where it's like, Corey Feldman will do anything for $100. Like, you could go to this website and tell him what you wanted him to do. Like, okay, now jump rope or do a somersault.
Yeah.
And
then didn't he have this weird, like, you could party with Corey Feldman and his girls or whatever thing?
Yeah, he calls them the Angels.
Yeah.
And
which was weird. It seemed like this very odd pseudo escort service.
Yeah, it did. And then who was the poor black rapper that he made come out on stage?
Oh, I don't know. Some guy from Houdini.
Why?
Like, and that guy rapped terrible, too.
I'm like, I hope Corey Feldman paid you a lot of money for this. So he basically came out and did like a Michael Jackson impression is what he did.
Which he's been doing since the 80s.
Like, it's creepy how much he wants to be Michael Jackson.
Yes, yeah. And it always has. If you go and YouTube videos of him from like 1985...
Yeah.
Through now, anytime he's dancing, he is dressed like and dances like. He doesn't dance like Michael Jackson.
He's trying to
dance like Michael Jackson.
It's like his own pterodactyl bird version of Michael Jackson with no rhythm. Well, so basically what happened was he released a statement today. You know, he did this horrible, horrible performance. And he released a statement saying, like, sobbing and saying, we just wanted to tell everybody, this is him and his angels. We just wanted to tell everybody that it's like been really painful, said Feldman, 45.
Yes, it was.
It was super painful.
It was very painful. By the way, your angels aren't playing their instruments.
No.
It is straight up Addicted to Love.
Hang on, let's see here.
That's why I created Corey's Angels, as a way to help girls who are like,
so he says that
to get their opportunities, their dreams, and make them.
He said the past 24 hours since the show aired have been terrible. He said we put ourselves out there, we did our best that we could, and like I never had such mean things said about me, like constantly. He needs a PR guy. And then he continued.
He needs a lot of things.
Yeah, we're gonna get to the song here in a minute. I hate Billy Bush. Does anybody like Billy Bush?
Billy Bush.
Billy Bush is in love with himself.
God, this
I
is,
like the hood.
I
mean,
this is so.
I mean, they were interviewing him and he had this hood up the whole time. I'm like, this is going to be bad. Oh, here it is. Here it is.
This is so terrible.
Do you think Billy Bush?
Fly
away.
Do you think Billy Bush has a Ryan Seacrest like voodoo doll that he pokes every night?
Yes. I love how he went from like this weird pterodactyl dance into the dab into now a scarecrow move.
God, his face is even starting to look like Michael Jackson.
That's not by accident.
What? You know that today's
show... He can't sing for shit.
No. And he can't dance.
No. You know the only people who sing worse than Corey Feldman are his backup backup singers.
Oh, my God. Are those girls like Playboy Mansion rejects?
I'm sure they are.
But they do anything for $100, too.
Are their instruments even plugged in?
Absolutely not. The bass player never moves her hands.
The one in the back looks like she's supposed to be like DJ.
She's supposed to be the DJ.
She's just pretty much sitting in front of an iMac.
Yeah, I don't think she's actually doing anything.
He said it was a song, okay? It wasn't weird, he said.
No, it was weird.
I'm sorry if it's not good enough for you, but you don't have to beat us up. I just want to say that, like, why is it okay to publicly shame us? I don't understand. It's, like, not PC to say, like, that somebody is fat or white or black or somebody is yellow or green or they have a short leg or a missing finger. Like, we can't talk about those things, but it's okay to bash Corey Feldman and the Angels. I can't even take him seriously. But, I mean, he goes on to say, he's so devastated. He says, we can't get out of bed right now. We're petrified to even go out. And I'm sorry, but whatever. I just wanted the world to know that we're, like, really freaked out over this and it's really not fair. Feldman said this should be considered bullying. Public shaming should not be accepted no matter who you are. It doesn't matter if they're a celebrity or not. We deserve love and we deserve a normal life. Well, if you deserve a normal life, don't go on the Today Show dressed like a crow. Yeah.
Corey, you can go stand next to Rebecca Black right now. Both of you guys and your terrible songs.
He said it's not okay and it's not acceptable to call us freaks, weirdos, losers, whatever. I mean, does he have kind of a point that...
I don't think... Are people calling him freaks?
Well,
I mean, the song's
sure.
terrible.
Yeah.
And he can't be mad. Look, it's part of being an artist. If you put your art out there,
you're gonna
it's
going to
get critiqued and reviewed.
Yeah.
And if it's bad, people aren't going to lie and say, oh, it's great just because you made The Lost Boys. I love The Lost Boys as much as anyone else and Goonies and everything else. That shit's awful. That is terrible.
Look, he's even got the white ruffly shirt like Michael Jackson. And the exact hairstyle.
And
down.
The hair, yep. Yeah.
Down. Oh, and remember...
With, like, the one little trailing yes. on the face.
15 yeah. years ago, he was dressed in military uniforms like Michael Jackson.
Oh, my God. So Lucy started doing this hand clap the other day. It just goes to show that things never change. So when we were kids, we used to do this little thing called, like, I pledge allegiance to the flag. Michael Jackson is a bad slur. Well, now they say, I pledge allegiance to the flag. Michael Jackson is my dad. She's like, Coca-Cola burned him up. I'm like, who taught you that?
It was Pepsi.
I'm like, you go tell your little friends at school to Pepsi? Google Michael Jackson hair burning commercial and don't ever let me hear you say Coca-Cola again.
That's right.
She's like, dude, mom, chill.
Whoa. Get your shit straight.
But yeah, they've got the whole like, na 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 na. Like, she does this whole thing with it, and I could, like, when she started saying it, she's like, I pledge allegiance to the flag,
you're
Michael,
like,
Jackson. I'm like, I thought I sent you to a good school.
Welcome to public school.
Yeah, she's like, Michael Jackson is my dad, Coca-Cola burned him up. I'm like, so what did you say? I'm like, you're a mano, you need to know about this pop culture
right.
stuff. Okay, let me close up Corey Feldman. Let's talk briefly about New York. I was almost asleep last night when Haas texted me and was like, dude,
you
New
almost
York.
Needed a new co-host.
Yeah, because so you were in New York right before this happened.
Yep.
Like literally a day before.
Yes.
And so basically, like, there were a couple of bombs that were planted and a couple went off, a couple didn't.
Yes.
Someone didn't plan very well. And what is this big hubbub about? People are mad at Donald Trump for calling it a bomb. What else is it?
People have to get upset about everything. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. It is what it is.
It blew up, didn't it?
Yep.
Somebody made it.
Yeah, isn't that...
They wanted it called a device.
Well, I think what people got butthurt about was that he said this before people really knew what had happened.
We saw the video. Shit blew up in a dumpster.
Yeah, this was before that, though.
What did... Oh, well,
Like, apparently he was told... Like, it happened at, like, 8 o'clock New York time. He was told at 8:15, went on to his meeting, was like, I have to tell you, I was just told. Like, before it was even told to the public.
Oh, okay.
He said there was a bombing.
I thought they were mad that he called it a bomb, but nobody died, right? And then,
to my knowledge, nobody died.
But it's literally on the street where your
company is. It was
across
the street from my office.
That's crazy.
Our office is in the Chelsea district, and we're on the corner of 23rd and 6th.
Yeah.
And that's exactly where this happened.
Yeah.
It's freaky because I was there at this point now 72 hours ago.
Right.
Yeah, it's bizarre because there's nothing like to target on that street.
No, and
there's restaurants and a fitness place and a couple of delis and a Dunkin' Donuts.
And then I think it was Michigan where somebody with an axe came
Minnesota.
Through a mall.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Minnesota, like, just hacking at people. And somebody went after, I think it was a New York cop with a machete like a few weeks ago.
Yep.
So and
on
top,
there was a pipe bomb in Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, like, and on top of all this, you know, you just had Missouri pass that law that now people can carry a gun whenever they want. And I think that we are going to have the guys from Ultimate Defense on this week to talk about that, to kind of explain it, you know, because to me, it's just asinine.
I feel like we're slowly shifting back to the Wild West.
I really feel like we are. And I'm a gun advocate. I have got my conceal and carry. And I, you know, this isn't always just a gun nut right wing, you know, because I'm not right wing or left wing. I'm right in the middle. I voted, you know, for both candidates in major elections, you know, or both sides of it. I just try to, like, stick with common sense. And sometimes it feels like I'm the only person that still does that. So.
Yeah, I just don't like the idea of any a-hole being able to carry a gun without proper training and classes.
Yeah, but I guess the fight is that they always have. Like, nothing's ever stopped the bad guys before. So that let's wait. Let's wait until the people who know what they're talking about can answer our questions, because otherwise you and I are just going to talk in circles.
I agree.
We have a guest coming on the show. His name is Ben. And so We liked
Ben's
it.
The shit.
We liked it, literally. We like to interview people with cool jobs, and Ben is from my hometown, and I kind of know him through his wife, and he's always posting these videos online. He's like, you think your job sucks? Look at mine, and I'm going to show you some of these when we go to break. But literally, he, like, works in the sewer system every day, walks through poop water.
Neat.
You know who we need to get in here to interview is an airline pilot, because I saw Sully over the weekend, the movie.
Good?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I was tired.
I'm never traveling anywhere.
You know
with
Tom
one,
Hanks. Stephanie?
I do know one. Yeah.
Is he like an airliner pilot?
Yeah, like commercial airline pilot.
But see, I wonder if they can come in and talk about, like, real stuff, or if they have to be so reserved because of their jobs.
I can ask.
We can do a voice disguiser.
I know a retired one.
That's what we need. We need a retired one that can tell us the really crazy stuff, like how many affairs did you have? So we will.
I also know an airline stewardess.
How many affairs did you have?
I believe they're called flight attendants.
I think when she did it, they were called stewardesses.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So it's been a while. It's been a bit. We'll be right back with Ben, who is the shit. And we'll tell us about the shit.
Truth.
On the Kelly Mano Radio Show. If you like the show with your friends. Share it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just write it on your forehead. We love you for listening. We'll be right back. Hello, but we're still getting busy. Now you're getting dizzy. I can slow it down so you can pump it. Pump it. Then I move it fast so you can pump it. Pump it. Two balls and a bat. My bitch, I wears a hat. Sliding into home base. Trying to hit a home run. Swing. Bada, 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 bada. Swing. Come, baby, come, baby, baby, come, come.
The Kelly Mano Show. Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy. Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
It is the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast episode, I don't know, 71? Here with producer Stephanie, my best friend Haas. And we have a guest in the studio. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Ben Roberts.
Yay!
So we have kind of a segment that we do on this show where we interview people with interesting jobs.
Yes.
We have interviewed a stripper.
Yes.
We have interviewed my personal gynecologist.
Yes.
We have interviewed a mortician.
Yep.
We've interviewed a phone sex operator.
Yep.
We've interviewed...
fertility doctor.
A fertility doctor.
The medical marijuana guy.
Yep.
That was a good one.
And so I know Ben from my hometown, and whether or not we talk about how we met each other, we'll talk about later, because I don't know if you want to get into that on the air, but Ben is the operating engineer of the Granite City Wastewater Treatment Plant.
Wow.
Now, it sounds like a pretty important job.
It does.
But then I go on his Facebook, and first of all, Ben, say hi to everybody. I forgot to turn your microphone on.
Hi, how you guys doing?
And so Ben works for, essentially, like you work in the sewers like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Yeah.
Now,
nice. Have you developed any powers yet?
Not yet. I'm sure I'm going to die of something I've encountered there. So.
Nice.
Have you started growing a tail?
No, not yet.
Have you found random pizza boxes?
Are you turning into Teen Wolf?
Not yet.
Nothing like that. So how long have you been working at the wastewater treatment plant?
Next year it'll be 10 years.
Holy cow. So you've been, so it's been a long time.
Yeah.
I hope they pay you pretty well.
Yeah. We get, like, pay because of what we do and what we encounter. So, like, our pay
pays for shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Our pay is a little bit higher than most standard.
Well, I showed Haas and producer Stephanie before the show some videos that you posted on Facebook. And he'll post a video and the title will be like, "So, you think your job sucks?" And it's videos of him walking through our sewers. Now, you have to help me because I'm not very smart about some things. And one of them is our sewers. So can you explain to me, like, what happens when we flush our toilets?
So basically, any like, city or anything has just a sewer network. So, like, anything that comes directly out of your house comes out of a pipe and then goes into a main sewer.
Does my poop mix with my neighbor's poop?
Yes.
Wow.
Everybody in your neighborhood right now is going to go into one combined sewer. And then eventually, it's either gravity.
We're closer than we thought.
Yeah. So it's either gravity fed to where
we not use the word fed.
So it's either going by gravity to one place or it's pumped through pump stations that are manned by other companies, depending on counties and regions.
Okay.
So then it eventually all goes to one place.
So in the one place is
a wastewater treatment plant.
A wastewater treatment plant. So what goes into that is
poop,
pee, toilet water, and toilet paper. And
lots of dead goldfish.
Some places have what are called combined sewers, which means that if it rains, any rainwater that goes to the gutters will also combine with that as well and still go. But not all places do.
So some of it's diluted poop water.
Right.
And
if some of it's pungent.
If it's more of a modern city, they actually separate like rainwater from sewer water. So the rainwater...
Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, the reason is that most wastewater treatment plants have like a specific volume of water that they're allowed to bring in, and it's based on MGD, which means millions gallons daily.
Wow.
So
that's
a lot of places,
shit.
They figured it out that if they could separate the rainwater from the sewer water, the rainwater can just discharge in any like local body of water.
Right.
So if there's a river, a stream, or anything like that, they can just
push it right back out.
It'll go out that way. But the wastewater has to be treated at all times. So that has to come straight to a wastewater treatment plant.
So dumb question one, how do you separate the water?
And because now I'm scared to ask why you're treating
it. Is it just like the rain sewers are emptying into different pipes? And
yeah,
the...
totally different. Okay. Yeah, totally different pipe systems. So
got
like
it.
they're actually piped differently. They don't even come in contact with sewer pipes.
Okay.
So they're totally isolated.
Okay. So you got your big bucket or your swimming pool of the poop, the pee, the water, and the toilet paper. And then
dead goldfish.
And dead goldfish. And
yeah,
like some army guys and, you know.
Right.
So what is the first thing that happens to that pool of poop and stuff?
So everything basically...
And what do you call it, first of all?
We just call it wastewater.
Wastewater,
yeah,
okay.
But then it starts breaking down, and then it has different terminology. So we have in Granite City, we have two main sewers. We have an 84-inch sewer and a 108 sewer, and that's by inches. So it's on 84 inches, and one's 108 inches. So basically everything's coming in on two separate lines. 84 is all basically domestic. It's all your homes and stuff.
Right.
The 108 is a lot of industrial. So we have like Capri Sun and
some of the bigger
Prairie
companies.
Farms.
That
yeah,
are...
everything theirs comes down a separate line.
Oh, wow.
But they all come in to the same place. And then the first thing that they do is they enter the plant, and then they start a process of how we start removing solids from the water.
That's poop.
Is it like a
big
strainer?
You never ever see actual like floating turds.
How do you not see
would be great.
Yeah, you never see it because
I would be so excited.
by the time that it makes it to us, it's already dissolved and broken
what
up.
What if somebody has a really hard one, like, you know, a constipated kid?
I mean, every once in a blue moon you will see like a rock,
like an actual turd.
You'll see a turd.
Okay. And so,
but it's few and far between.
So you start straining out the solids.
So it comes into what's called the pump station. It's called the raw waste station.
Okay.
So it both two sewers combine, and then they go through what's called a coarse bar screen. It's just this massive screen that has bars that run
is that
up
the
and
thing
down.
That had the condom on it the other day on your video?
No,
I think it was like find the
now
condom.
That's a whole separate system. So this is just if we have natural flow, we don't have a bunch of rain.
So all the poop sticks to the grate.
Yeah, Granite City is different. We don't have combined. Everything that falls in the rain, everything that goes comes to us. We don't have separated systems to where the rainwater goes out. We get everything. So if it rains, whatever, it all combines with our sewers. And so we have combined sewers, so everything comes to us.
So the poop gets kind of strained out.
So it's not poop, because the poop's already broken down by this.
But you said it's solid, so what else could it be?
Well, here you start getting condoms that you're trying to pull out for sticks, leaves.
How are you getting sticks, but you just said it's a combined system.
Yeah, we get turtles, Quick Trip cups. This is the big. These are just heavy core solids. So its first job is to remove the big stuff.
Do you save the turtles? What do you do with them?
Most of them are mangled by the time.
Probably
they
you
get
probably
there.
Just get shells, right?
Yeah, parts. You know, just parts of animals.
If you ever find one, just save it and like just.
We,
I'll
I mean,
come
we
and
do,
get it.
Yeah,
you are not going to adopt a poo turtle.
Yes, I am. I will rescue anything, including a poop turtle.
No, we're right there by the Mississippi River, so if we ever catch anything like a turtle live, we'll grab it and we'll release it over there.
Okay,
so, no,
I'll take it. It'll be our show mascot.
No, we combine them. So it's first, as soon as it enters, the first thing that it does is basically just start pulling out heavy, heavy solids.
Got it.
That's the main job, basically. And then once it runs that course, then it gets pumped. We have a massive amounts of pumps that just pump ridiculous amounts of water. So then it's pumped to another place, which is called a fine screen. And a fine screen is just a smaller version of a coarse bar screen. And it's starting to pull out more of the other stuff. So it's
condoms. So what are you...
Like sediment, things like that?
No, like condoms, tampon applicators.
Wow.
What are you left with then? Water?
No, it's still solid. Everything's still like all the solids are still in there. And when I say solids, basically it's the broke down material, fecal matter. Basically, it's the turds that have basically.
Poop parts.
They've become liquefied.
Wrap
at this
my
point
head
in time.
Around right. What's coming out of his mouth right now.
So
it's just like I don't even have any questions right now.
This is like a whole different version of shit talking.
Right. It,
literally.
Yeah. So then we screen that.
Please don't tell me we reuse the water.
No. See,
thank you.
Yeah,
Jesus.
The only reason most plants that don't do industrial, that are just like other places that would be like, say, like a community or anything, yeah, that water goes back to drinking. But we can't, because a lot of chemicals that come from the industry, you know, the industry and stuff like that has cyanide and a lot of other heavy chemicals. So we can't treat that. So
Do certain neighborhoods have different smells, or does it all smell the same?
We have an apartment complex right next to ours that stinks terribly, especially in the summertime.
Like, if you're ever in like your buddy's neighborhood, you're like, damn it, Bob, your sewer reeked. What do you eat for dinner?
It could be that sometimes. I mean, but any major wastewater has to be by a large body of water, like any kind of river or something, because everything that we clean after that, we're discharging back into the Mississippi River.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I think
I'm going to go there. Hang on.
So,
okay, I'm going to go there. Do you have a question? Because it might be the same as mine.
How often do you actually have to get into the sewers and make contacts?
How often are you walking in poop?
So because I'm basically the maintenance guy, and what we do is we rebuild or fix any heavy machinery whose responsibility is removing these solids.
So if the poop machine is broken, you have to fix it.
Right, like the
no!
other... Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah, no, you do. So the video you guys saw on Facebook the other day, that is called... That's another system that we have that when we get... too much flow when it rains and stuff. We can only bring in so much flow, and like our max is like 35 million gallons daily. So once that comes
daily,
yeah, it's every day. And then if rain comes, all that water hits our system. We can't handle that, so that goes into what's called a storm overflow, and then we have a whole nother pump system for that that takes that to a whole separate tank.
Can we put the video up on KellyMano.com?
Yeah, I don't care.
Because it's either that or like a bunch of strangers are going to send you Facebook requests. So
yeah, no.
Right.
If you text the video to my producer, then we can put it straight up at KellyMano.com. So if you want to see what our sewers look like, it's an eye-opener for sure, and I'm just going to go ahead and ask now because it's coming anyway. So, like, if you work at Bread Co., you smell like Bread Co.
Like bread.
If you work in a tire shop, you smell like tires.
Right.
So, if
I haven't even gotten into the worst parts yet. This is just the easy stuff.
Okay, hang on. I have to know what... I have to know. And your beautiful wife, Julie, is here. I know that her last name is not Burnett anymore, but I'm going to continue to call her Julie B, whether you like it or not.
That's fine.
And she's here specifically for this part of the interview, because I want to know what you smell like when you come home from work.
So... there's certain parts of the plant that will generate different smells based on where you work at will dictate how bad you smell. So we have
the poo on me.
What are you playing? So what's the I don't understand. I would think all poop smelled terrible. How can one smell worse than the other?
It's terrible. Well, you got to think that we're combining every single person's sewer for hundreds of thousands of people confined into one space. So the smell gets worse. But the bad part is that we start separating solids once we start pulling out all the heavy debris that'll mess up our pumps. So we have a few things that just separate heavy debris, any sticks, logs, grit. We separate grit, people coffee grinds, and rocks that wash off the street.
Might not be coffee grinds. I mean, I've had a few bouts of the stomach flu
There's tons and tons of corn that we encounter.
That's just
There it is. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, first of all.
Corn is a major factor there.
Do you come home sometimes smelling like poop? And what is your laundry situation?
Well, we have a laundry service, so we have a company that we have uniforms there.
Julie does not have to do your laundry.
No, so we put on uniforms there. We get to shower at work and leave, so at least we have that benefit.
So you
there.
Get to shower at work. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. I just thought you come home in a poop suit, and it's like, okay.
No.
I thought maybe you put it in like a trash bag or something.
There's been times that I've showered before and come home, and Julie would just look at me and like, nope, you're getting back in the shower.
It's like having a kid. Nope. You're still dirty.
Yeah, there's some guys like, it'll be a day later and it'll sweat out of your pores.
Oh, nope.
The
no,
smell.
No.
Yeah,
no,
just the smell alone.
Yet again.
I got the poo on me.
So what would you say is the gross? And Stephanie, I know we're on Facebook Live and we've had a bunch of questions, but was that, did that cover
that,
it?
That was the majority of it, was about showers.
What,
yes, if there's special clothes that
do you ever have to have, like, I know you said you wear a suit when you go to work, but like, are there parts of the job that if you know you're going to be encountering some really gnarly stuff, like hazmat suit type stuff?
Not like,
because in your one video, you came across a hypodermic needle.
Right. So we weren't going to be grabbing stuff with our hands there. We had a couple tools that basically mm-hmm. we were just trying to remove debris from uh-huh. this coarse bar screen just so that the rakes could pick it up and,
right.
and separate everything. But there are some horror stories out there that have happened to people. So once we get all the heavy debris, and then once it, everything is kind of gravity fed, so we pump and then we let gravity do some,
right.
and then we'll pump to another place. Gravity will do a little trick. So once all that stuff's done, once we cleared all the big stuff, then it goes to these things that are called primary tanks. So all that wastewater flows into these tanks and then they settle. So you have what are called floatable solids, sinkable solids, and then everything that's in between. So the heavy solids are what we call sludge, and the sludge settles. So there's pumps that pump that heavy sludge out, and then it gets pumped to another tank, and then it settles some more, and then it goes to another tank.
And it's got to be coming thicker and thicker.
It just keeps becoming more and more condensed, you know, and then it's just that it's... It is literally the worst thing ever.
Like,
so.
is it the consistency of, like, not quite cooked brownies?
Like if you put a...
Like brownies that, like, that are undercooked.
Yeah, but it's not...
Please don't ruin brownies for me. I'm a fat kid.
It's not hard. It's just, like, sloppy, gooey...
It's like brownie bladder.
Black death.
Brownie batter. Brownie bladder. I can't even talk. So, okay, what is the worst horror story that's either happened to you or that you know of a buddy?
So these pumps that have to pump the sludge from tank to tank, we have to work on them every once in a while. And sometimes something will get lodged in the pump and it'll be pressurized. So there's a ton of pressure because the pump was pumping and pumping. Something got stuck in it.
Is this going to be, a poop volcano?
So we have to go down there and we have to break this pump down. Well, the pump's under a specific amount of pressure. And once you break a certain valve open or break something, it starts spraying everywhere.
So,
and I had a picture the other day where I had broken.
Is it literally
apart
like
off.
Joe Dirt?
Yeah. Yeah. It's happened before. One poor guy down there one time, he was kind of a rookie, and the rookies get those jobs if they haven't done it before.
I could not imagine being a rookie at that job.
Nobody gave him a heads up on what he was doing, and he removed a specific piece off his pump, and it sprayed him in his face.
No!
Just blast him. He had his safety... He had his safety glasses on, but when he pulled them off, you could just see the ring right around his eyes. Everything
else
was
outline.
Black.
Oh, God. That's disgusting. I've never seen Joe Dirt, so I didn't... Okay. That is so gross. So
that's what he's describing right now.
When you had babies, because you and Julie have three babies, mm-hmm. was it, like, not a big deal to change their diapers?
No.
Was it like, nothing?
Do you just get desensitized to
it? Every single day, all day long, I get this stuff on my hands, on my clothes, on my somewhere that I didn't see it, where it happened.
Do you personally even notice the smell anymore?
No. But when I first got hired on, the first 2 weeks, I looked at Julie and said, I don't know if I can do this.
I think I would vomit. At least a couple of times.
My friends have come out there to have to grab something, and you'll see them come around the corner, and all of a sudden they'll just pull their shirt over their nose.
Yeah,
and pull up.
Kids go crazy.
But
do they? Yeah. Kids like when their dads work in, like, industrial type things. Like, they like whatever your dad does, whether he's a garbage man or whatever. Like, they want to learn about it. So do your kids, like, ask a lot of poop questions?
Yeah, I mean, yes. Bo's probably the most interested. Actually, I took Gracie out there one time to, I think I was just dumping some trash off or something. She was in the backseat of my truck, and I opened the truck to have her get out. And the smell hit her, and she started crying.
And she
shut her door and just would not get out of the truck. I don't blame her either. I mean, it's terrible.
Wow.
Well, I just want, I mean, first of all, Ben, will you stick around with us the next segment? Because we've got some other stuff we need to cover.
Yeah, I do have one other question.
Yeah.
What is the weirdest, strangest, oddest thing that you found in the source?
A dead baby.
What?
Really? Yeah.
A real one?
Like, parts of it came up through.
As in, like, someone had an abortion and threw it in the sewer? Or, like, someone had a baby?
No,
there's a big abortion clinic in Granite City, Illinois. It's our most
But these parts were pretty big enough that we had to actually call the police department. They had to come down.
Was that a long time ago?
Yeah,
or?
It was a little bit prior to me.
So it was before you. Yeah. What about besides that? Any other surprising things down there?
Are there alligators in the sewer?
Not here.
Do you remember that movie from the 80s?
Yeah.
Where the alligator got real big and like
You know what?
We found
scuba tanks the other day. Not too
really?
Long
ew. Yeah.
Who is scuba diving in the poos?
I don't know, but it blocked that same machine that I was working on the other day. Some had blocked it up, and the guys went down there to work on there, and there were scuba tanks down there.
Do you guys ever dare each other to do stuff? I mean, because like guys get bored at work, so is it ever like...
The things about the stuff at my work that if it were to get in your mouth, there's a highly possibility that you're going to die.
I was going
to
say, Hep C has got to be a real problem.
Like when I first, we get Hep C shots all the time out there. You know,
you
mandatory.
Had to have signed a big contract that says,
and
I will not sue
And Salmonella too,
you.
I would imagine.
I don't know, but when I first got hired on the first 2 weeks there, I had some kind of viral infection that lasted for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And then after that, I'll bet my immune system's probably 100 times stronger.
How
than
often have you gotten pink eye?
Immune system of steel.
What's that?
How often have you gotten pink eye?
What does pink eye have to do with poop?
Once.
That's how you get pink eye.
Yeah. From poop?
It's shit in your eye.
Yeah. One time.
Nobody told me that. The more you know. God. I learned so much about poop in this segment. Thank
My
you for coming in, Ben.
Like,
no problem.
Pink eye and Hep C everywhere.
And thank you for doing what you do, because if there weren't people to do it...
Oh, it's tough.
We would be living, you know...
Yeah.
Like you go camping.
Dude... I just spent a week in New York, and the fact that any time, day or night, you walk down the street and there's just mountains of trash bags on the curb is insane to me.
Yeah.
Because they have nowhere to put their trash anymore.
They don't. And so, yeah. All right.
Like, that smell makes me want to gag. I couldn't.
I can't
there's
even
no way
drive
I can do what
by the Bridgeton landfill anymore and not, you know. But then again, you grew up in Granite City, so we drove by the steel mill growing up, and, like, I forget it even smells, and somebody will be with me, and we'll drive by, and they'll be, like, trying to roll up windows and coughing and gagging. Like,
that's a funny story, because we'll drive by the mill, and Julie will say, you guys smell that? What's that smell like? Because, you know, her dad worked down there. Like, that smells like money. And then, like, what's dad's work smell like? And they'll go, poop.
We will be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show.
The Kelly Mano Show. Princess of the 90s is now the queen of the minivan carpool. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
Hoss, I have an announcement to make.
Yes, ma'am.
I am now a belly dance school graduate.
Yay!
So I completed my 6-week intro to belly dance at Sacred Movement in St. Charles, Missouri, and I had so much
good
fun.
I'm glad. I thought you would.
Yeah, so it's run by Jen, who happens to be one of Hoss's like oldest and dearest friends. So I went and took the 6-week class, and it was amazing. I'm telling you, belly dance is the new yoga. If you've not tried this, you have to give her 6-week course a chance. She starts you from the very beginning. You have no idea what you're doing, and the next thing you know, you are like shaking what your mama gave you. And it's so much fun. And, you know, I wanted to mention one other thing. I don't know. I'm sure you know this, Hoss, but, you know, Jen's the military family, and she just found out that her husband's being deployed again.
2.5 months.
And so they've got kids, and if you want to support a military family and you want to support a small business, now is a great time to do that and give Sacred Movement a call at 314-398-8184. The new classes start this week, September 19th. They are kicking off this week. So if you are interested in checking out the Intro to Belly Dancing class, you need to go online tonight at sacredmovementstudio.com and sign up. Because if she doesn't have at least 5 people, she can't do the class. Yeah. So it's not something you can sign up for at the last minute. It's hard to explain, but we dance in groups, and there's kind of a rhythm to it. So she needs to know who's coming and who's going to be there. So if you've never taken a belly dance class, you don't have to have any experience. And you will get an ab and arm workout that you have never, ever had in your entire life. So,
very true.
Again, give Jen a call at 314-398-8184, or you can go to her website, which is sacredmovementstudio.com.
We'll be right back.
to the Kelly Mano Radio Show. We are still joined by Ben, the poop guy. Do you get a lot of poop gifts?
No.
Because I was at Six Flags the other day, and they had a poop emoji hat. And I stopped my husband. I'm like, I'm having Ben on the show. I need to get him that hat. And then I stopped myself because I'm like, he probably has every poop gift known to man.
Yeah, we're just called turd herders.
Turd herders.
Yes.
Now.
That's amazing.
Julie B, say hi over there so everybody can hear you.
Hi.
Say hi louder.
Hi.
Say hi in your non-smoker voice. Like your say hi in your cheerleader voice.
Hi.
There we go. I can get you a little bit. So Julie B has been one of my best friends forever, BFF. She's one of those girls I could not see for years and years and years.
Right.
And see her, it's like I've never seen her. Because I said earlier, we were she was the only other person I knew in Granite City, Illinois, who wanted to be blacker more than I did.
All right.
And so when it came to like rap music and stuff like that, like me and her and our other friend Julie, like we were it. Like we were introducing it to like the other Palm girls and, you know.
Our little brothers.
Yes, our little brothers. Like we thought we were so hood. Like we were not. I bought the Bloods and Crips CD when I was 14 years old. What the hell did I buy that for?
All right.
My
grandma got me Debrat because like she was so confused. She went and tried to get it once and couldn't find it. So I had to draw. I'm like, grandma, she's standing in water and it's like a blue and purple cover. It, you know, I'm like, flip it over and make sure Functified's on it. She's like, I can't read it. The words are too small. So Julie is from Granite City. And I mentioned earlier that I didn't know if I wanted to talk about how Ben and I met or not. Because I was, I don't even know how much Ben remembers about this because you may have blocked it out of your mind. But do you have any memory of how you and I met?
Was it in the hallway?
Do you remember how we met and why and what drew us our attention to you?
Were you two together?
I absolutely remember it.
Okay, so you moved here from California, right?
Yeah, when I first moved here, I hated it.
Well, I don't blame you because
where
you
in
had
California,
Southern California, right outside of San, well, about 40 minutes north of San Diego, so like Temecula / Menifee Valley.
My entire living room was filled with wines from Temecula.
Really?
Yeah,
no way.
It's a good area.
It's good wine country.
Oh,
well,
I want to move out there tomorrow. But you moved from Temecula to Granite City.
Oh, it wasn't by
Holy
my choice.
But yeah. Jesus.
Was it a
welcome
a
to
job?
Culture shock.
No, my parents are hippies.
So.
And like, well, California is not as kosher as people think it is.
No, yeah. It's really not.
So, and I lived in the valley. So basically, people that had bad kids that were gangbangers from LA and the other parts were moving to the valley to get mm-hmm. their kids out. And then all they did is just gangbang there.
Yeah.
And it just kept getting worse and worse. And the school system wasn't very good. So my dad had the bright idea that we were moving to St. Croix in the Virgin Islands. So we literally packed up everything, sold everything. My dad grew up in Granite City.
You went the wrong way.
I was going to say,
so, well, we came here to say goodbye, and my dad wanted to make peace with his family and everything mm-hmm. before we literally left to a place they'd never see us again. And then, so it was like the summer of 95, and then Hurricane Hugo comes through and
oh, yeah.
wipes out, and then we're stuck here.
But talk about getting the shit into the deal, like St. Croix, Granite City.
For
St.
real.
Croix, yeah. Granite City.
Right.
Well, so.
And he looked like a typical surfer.
I mean,
boy.
I had long blonde hair.
Yeah.
Tanned out.
You were the cutest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I know. So I think I was a senior when you were a freshman. And this new
yes.
boy started school, and he didn't look like anybody in Granite City. You were probably like 5'1",
oh,
maybe.
Oh, little guy, yeah.
He was tiny, and he had this long bleach blonde surfer hair, and he'd wear, like, these skater shorts, and my friend Dawn and I just, like, fell in love with him as this, like, cute little freshman boy. We're like, what's your name? And, like, I guess we couldn't remember your name, so we just called you California Boy.
Yeah. California Boy, yeah.
And then we decided that we should start just grabbing California Boy's ass in the hallway. Like, for
nice.
No...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know all how right. much of this you remember, but you
I repressed a lot of my freshman year because I got hated on by the guys so much.
We, like,
well,
I
yeah,
remembered
because,
it more than he did.
Dude, you ruined
yes.
the curve.
Well, I'd come in, and I'd just walk down the halls and be like, everyone, skater or die, dude. Oh,
right.
You surfer? And I'd be like, I hate this place.
Well, we learned
it's like reverse Karate Kid.
Right.
We
right.
learned
not
his
cool.
schedule. We learned your schedule because, like, we just thought you were the cutest thing ever. Because, you know, that's what the older Palm girls do. They, like, adopt these, like, little boys. There was this other boy. Do you remember Little Pumpkin? He was, it was at midnight soccer practice where all the boys wear white. And this one little bitty short guy that was, like, as white as he was tall showed up in a bright orange shirt. So we're like, go, Little Look how punky. Like, so we would find the, and then like for the rest of his life, like nobody would pick on Pumpkin because the Palm Girls would kick his ass. So we would learn Ben's schedule. I didn't even know his name. And like he'd be like at his locker getting his books out, and we would just walk by and grab his ass and keep going. Do you remember this?
I do recall this.
Okay. I think Dawn did it more than I did.
Oh, yeah,
it
was... Yes.
But it was just our way of.
And Dawn was our daughter's first grade teacher.
That's amazing.
Listen, I have so many videos that I could not release because Dawn is a teacher. So we used to play this game called Iuga, where we would go around, like we would go out in public, and this was all of the girls on the Palm Squad, and we would grab people's butts and we would yell the word Iuga. And like if you did it with one hand, you got 5 points. And if you did it with two hands, you got 10 points. And the uglier and fatter they were, you got bonus points. And so like we would go out for a day and we would keep track of who got the most points. I have the most amazing video of all of us grabbing these butts all day, but Dawn's a teacher, so I don't want to get, like, I don't know if she would get in trouble or not. I mean, it's
probably.
Just, yeah. It's just
pretty cool. Quiet about
it's just
those things.
Well,
naturally, I would be too.
I've got plenty more in my arsenal. That was the calm one I was going to release. Right. But, you know, everybody gets so butthurt about crap
today.
It would be my luck that she would get fired for grabbing a butt 20 years ago.
Yeah, I wouldn't put past anyone to do something like that.
No, but, that is how I met Ben.
Nice.
And then I graduated and, like, went on to college and stuff. And it was a couple years later that someone's like, Julie Burnett is marrying California Boy. And I'm like, what? What? I'm like, she's married. Like, and then I saw a picture of him. I'm like, dude, he grew like a foot and he's got brown hair now. And
I lost all my hair, lack of sun here.
Well, I just want to say I'm sorry for nearly molesting you.
No, it was all right. I mean, having the girl attention was cool, but being hated on by the boys sucked.
God. I was going to say, yeah, there's every school has the one kid who's the transplant.
Yes.
And ruins the curve for all the native dudes.
Oh, yeah.
And that guy just gets beat down forever.
It was a big deal.
It was a huge deal because nobody ever comes to Granite City from anywhere.
We all grew up together in the same place.
All of us. So if it's a new person, we're like, what are you? And especially with the blonde hair and all of that good stuff. And so, yeah, I don't know how much of...
How much withdrawal from In-N-Out did you go through?
Well, if your parents were hippies, you probably didn't eat that stuff.
No,
very much.
We ate a lot of In-N-Out.
You're damn right.
But I thought hippies ate like grass seed and stuff.
It was Mexican food pretty much, though.
They weren't that kind of hippie.
I just came back from there like 3 weeks ago, and it was so good to have like legit real Mexican food.
What part?
I was in L.A.
L.A.?
Yeah.
If you ever get an opportunity to go to, like, it's gangster. You got to go at, like, 12 o'clock, high noon. And there's a place in San Bernardino called Empanadas.
I've been there!
You've been to Empanadas in San Bernardino?
Yes!
Did you get the carne asada burrito?
I got carne asada tacos.
Oh. Was it, like, real gangster, like, a little like corner shop? Like, you had to get your food and go.
One of my best friends went to college up there. And when I lived out in L.A., we went up for a weekend, and we totally hit that place up. Because she was like, dude, this place is shady as all get out.
Right.
But the food is insane.
The food is worth being shot in a drive-by. Yes. For the
my dad would take our entire family there. But it was like in the barrio. Like you literally got
it's
in line.
Not safe.
You didn't make eye contact with people. You just got your food and
it's
got
like the
out.
Gangster version of the soup Nazi.
Yes.
It was the best food ever.
It's insane good.
Yeah.
I still can't believe that you moved from California to Granite City.
And I actually wanted to go, like, I wanted to go back, and I thought I'd do it, so I was going to finish up school at ASU, and I hated it.
Oh, really?
The farther I went back west,
you could have just gotten into porn if you wanted to finish up school at ASU.
I couldn't stand anybody there. Like, everyone was so pretentious, and then we went to San Diego a few times, and I was like, nah. I like
you
the Midwest a lot.
You got too used to us Granite City people.
I know. Now, you guys didn't really know each other growing up, right? Like, did you guys run in the same circles?
In high school?
We always knew the same people, but we were always never, like, together at, like, the same times.
Right.
Like, when we started
still
dating.
California boy.
Yeah.
California
when we started dating, she'd be like, you know him? I'd be like, well, yeah, I know that guy.
We had a lot
like, no
of the
way.
Same people
that were friends.
Common. He and my brother, you know.
Yeah.
But Ben is also 2 years younger than me.
Right.
So.
Cradle robber.
He didn't quite meet my criteria.
He's freaking cute. I would have married him too, little California boy. Those little skater shorts. Good Lord.
So he asked my brother. You know how we are with our brothers.
Yes, very close.
He asked my brother for permission.
To date you or to ask you on a date?
To ask me on a date.
Aw, that's very nice of you.
Well, I'm Bub's 6'5".
Yeah, I know, but
I didn't
want to
rattle
really,
his cage.
He's really nice, too. Yeah. Bub didn't used to be 6'5". I, like,
he's
literally, overnight. So one story that I wanted to talk about with you guys while you're here, because Ben, like me, you post a lot of stuff of your kids on Facebook, like funny stuff and funny videos and things like that. There's a story in the news that an 18-year-old is taking her parents to court. This is a real story. This is not an Onion story. She's turned 18 years old, and she is suing her parents for their posting of over 500 images without her consent. The images were shared with her parents' 700 Facebook friends. Her father told the news outlet he has the right to the photos because he took them, which is legally true. If you took a photo, it's yours, but you also can't, well, hang on. They knew no shame or limit and didn't care whether it was a picture of me sitting on the toilet or lying naked on my cot. Every stage was photographed and made public. The average parent shares almost 1,500 photos on Facebook of their children before their fifth birthday. Facebook has no policy against sharing photos of children, but does require users to be 13 years old to have a profile. So
this is the part of the show where I really want to cuss.
Well,
F you millennials.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, trust me, I'm not a fan of the millennials either. None of us are. We're all grouchy old people. But if you were like Rocky is at the age now where he's in middle school. So I won't post anything of him without asking him. Like even if it's like something as simple as he scored a goal in a hockey game, I'm like, hey, can I post this on Instagram? But then once in a while, like he will get crabby with me over nothing. Like sometimes whenever I'm picking him up from school, what is that?
Oh, when millennials were born.
What, a millennial?
80 to 2000.
I don't think 1980. Because I'm 2 years from that.
I'm going to say it's a little bit later than that.
Millennials like are like 90.
I was going to say 85. I was going to say 85 to 05-ish.
Yeah. Well, so, like, sometimes, like, I'll do, like, an Instagram story throughout my day. Because if you guys don't have Instagram, it's 5 million times better than Facebook.
No, it's
and,
not.
And it'll just be little 15-second clips. So it'll be, like, Rocky getting in the car after school. And he's like, why you got that on? I'm like, I gave birth to you. I pushed you up for 4 hours.
Correct.
I can take a like it's nothing. I would never take. I would never take a video of him doing something embarrassing and then post it. So, what do you think if your kids grow up and they're like, "Dad, why did you take all these videos of us? I want them down. I'm trying to become a lawyer, and there's pictures of me pooping on the potty."
But everyone has those photos.
But we didn't grow up in a time where they were blasted all over the place, all over the time, all the time.
Yeah, but anyone who ever went to your house saw them.
Well, it's different to see them and have them forever, you know? I don't know. I think about it a lot as my kids get older.
Social media is such a good and terrible thing at the same
time.
Oh, absolutely.
And that, like, even if those stayed up and they went somehow into a political career, somebody could pull something up and twist it in a way that it has nothing to do with what the picture represents. Well, but
exactly.
It's a fine line that, and I think a lot of people kind of don't know the boundaries sometimes on social media.
I agree.
This thing sounds like a butthurt little girl.
Yes.
Right, it does.
And she sounds like she's a snobby little punk.
If it's set to public, right. I can see her having a gripe to it. Like, I think if you're going to have photos like that as a parent, you need to be more diligent with what the settings are for those photos. Like, I don't even think those should be, like, viewable for friends. That should be, like, you pick the people that are able to see that album, be it family members or whatever.
And I think that Facebook also grew out of control quicker than a lot of us, you know, Generation Xers knew it would. So whereas a couple of years ago on Facebook, I was just sharing a couple photos with my friends and family. And now, like, everybody I've ever passed in a grocery store is my friend. And, you know, we didn't really see that coming.
No.
And so my kids obviously are highly publicized in stuff that they do. And Lucy's an actress and things like that. But I think that if my kids came to me when they were older and said, take these down, I would absolutely take them down.
Yeah. But you know what your kids aren't going to do?
What?
Sue you over it.
Well, if I said I wouldn't take them down. I mean, they're pictures of you. They're your pic. That's your body. It's your naked butt on the toilet. And as much as I think that's funny, you know.
Whatever, man.
I think
the biggest problem is that there was some kind of change in the hierarchy of how families are. You know, like a long time ago, the dad was the dad, the mom was the mom, and the kids were secondary to what their parents were doing. And then for some reason, somehow, some way,
yes,
they flipped the pedestal.
It's
and now
because
all the kids
you can't discipline kids now.
Right.
You can't say no to
them. The kids are at the hierarchy and the parents are at the bottom and they're at their beckoning will. So they have technically more power than their parents do. Well, and that's a common thread in these kids now at like a zoo phase.
Yes.
When they never were disciplined. They weren't fearful of their dad when they came home for the mistakes they made.
Absolutely not.
Their dad's not going to do anything. Like,
well, you can't say no to them because you can't bruise their ego. Right.
I can say no to them, but it's weird how much like credit we give kids. Could you imagine your parents coming home in 1982 and saying, all right, we're going to Walmart or we're going to Applebee's, and you going, I don't want to go to Walmart, I don't want, and then them going, oh okay, you know what, we'll just stay home. Like, that happens
lot more often than you think it does.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or the kids will decide where you're going to eat. Hey, we're going to go have Chinese. I don't like that. You know, could you imagine our parents like giving in to us when we acted like that?
When I was a kid, my mom would be like, this is what we're having for dinner. If I didn't want it, she'd be like, awesome, go make yourself something.
That's all you, or mine was, this is what we're eating. If you don't eat, that's it. You don't eat. Go to bed.
Yeah.
See, mine
she's
weren't
like, I'm
that
not a short order chef. I'm not making you this and you this.
I made
you this.
Five meals for five people. That's it.
Yep.
Good luck.
I feel like that was more the generation right before us. Because I feel like our parents, like the parents of the Gen Xers, started the coddling. I think they did.
I don't know, man.
I don't know many of my friends.
You're
who are
not that much younger than me.
I know, but like I wasn't scared of my dad. None of my friends were scared of their dads. It wasn't, you know,
I don't know if I was necessarily scared of my dad or my mom, but there was a very real fear of consequences for actions.
Oh yeah,
and kids don't have that anymore.
I was afraid of my dad. Well, I was afraid of my mom.
Yeah.
My mom was an awesome mom, and so was my dad, but they made some questionable things. Like, I literally stopped school at sixth grade, and I didn't go to school until ninth grade.
Hippies.
My parents pulled us out to do homeschooling, and then my mom just said, eh.
I roamed
the street for 2 years and then just hung out with all my friends. And a lot of my friends were older than me, so they had cars and stuff. And for 2 years, I didn't even go to school.
One of my kids was like Mom, we
that's
should
amazing.
Hold.
And that's amazing that like no one came
insane.
And knocked on your parents' door like, hi, where is he?
No. Yeah, I mean, and like, today. You know, and then if you met my mom, you would think, no way. That woman would never do that. But
I had very laid back parents, and so like I think that was part of it. But then my kids are like, Lucy, you know, she's an actress. She's like, Mom, I want to be homeschooled. I'm like, your mom's not smart enough. I'm sorry. Like, I could not even imagine. Like, teachers have such a hard job.
Lucy wants to be homeschooled
just so she can move to LA.
Oh, I was going to say, she's the social butterfly. She would go crazy by herself.
I know she would. And speaking of which, she has a commercial tomorrow, and it is 8 o'clock, and I still don't know her wardrobe. So for everybody out there who's like, I want my kids to be an actor, like, I'll be at Walmart tonight at midnight finding khakis for her camping scene or whatever the hell she's going to end up having to do. And you know why? Because she threw away her khakis because she said they're ugly. I said, you should save them for an acting job. She didn't listen to her mother. What else is new?
See?
So anyway, Ben, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's been
great. I appreciate it. I'm so glad that you brought Julie, your wife,
who
I love so much.
She was excited.
You guys know that my door is open anytime. So thank your boss for letting you come on and talk about the poop stuff. Because, you know, some people don't want to talk about it. But we enjoy your videos, and I hope you keep posting them on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And I will post your poop videos at kellymano.com. Producer Stephanie, thanks for hanging out today. We'll have the blog up at kellymano.com soon. Hoss, I'm already sick of you.
See?
I missed you so much in the beginning, and now it's like you've been here forever.
I'm just kidding.
Hey, we got to do another show this week. We got to talk about gun stuff.
All right.
Okay? Like, for real. Like, I always wait to say we're going to do another show, and then Hoss texts me. He's like, hey, show today? I'm like, yeah. And then, like, 10 minutes before, I'm like, you know, I'm just not feeling it. Make sure you check out the sponsors, Aero Insurance Specialties and Sacred Movement Belly Dancing Classes. All the information for them will be on the website, too. If you like the show, share the show. Am I missing anything?
Stay classy.
Oh, wait. Be good, have fun, stay sassy, classy, and a bit smart assy. Hoss, anything for the boys?
Gentlemen, we need to help a fellow man who helped us awkwardly grind on women in our late teens, early 20s.
Oh, shit.
Nelly needs your help. Go to Spotify. Please stream his music. He only needs 287,176,547 streams to pay off his $2.5 million in tax debt.
Oh, my gosh. Support your local homeboy.
Word.
I'm going to my Spotify right now. I'm going to let it run in my sleep.
There you go.
All right. We will be back later in the week. We love you for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
See ya.
That's all in the past. Legends built to last. But she's got something new. She's a power girl in a 90s world. She's a downtown swinging dude. Cause the lady is a bum, she's a vixen, not a tramp. She's a da 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 da. Come on, fellas, place your bets, cause you ain't seen nothing yet. She's the top of the town, she's the best. Yes. Scary baby.
Thank you very much.